Welcome to Between the Horns, presented by your Southern California Toyota dealers. I'm Cameron Irwin, alongside JB Long and DeMarco Farr.
I'm wet.
In Thousand Oaks, and I was going to say, it's been raining this morning. I was going to ask about the dust settling, but I think it's more about the rain settling now, post-draft. You doing okay over there, DeMarco?
What was that song, It Never Rains in Southern California? They lied. It dumped right on my head. How'd you guys get dry?
I thought you were just nervous.
Oh, stop.
Somebody grab this guy already.
Man, oh my gosh, not even July yet. Come on.
Good to see you, though.
Good to see you guys, yeah.
Well, now that we're officially post-draft, I think we have to take account of what the Los Angeles Rams now have. 14 new additions in this draft, let alone the 26 undrafted free agents. I mean, give me a 1,000-foot view. What's your impressions of this, JB Long?
My impression is that everyone should be required to wear name tags between now and training camp. We got a lot of work to do. I mean, speaking for myself, I still have a lot of learning to do, and I'm excited about it. I mean, half of this roster is new. I think the only thing that gives me pause, the only thing that I don't love about this draft class is how much everyone seems to love this draft class. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Because in retrospect, usually our first impression or any draft grades, easy for me to say, draft grades that might be out there are almost always silly when you look back at them a couple years from now.
Well, 26 undrafted rookie free agents. You know that makes me smile, right? There's 25 potential jobs out there, or at least guys get an opportunity. And Sean McVay said it on draft day. He drafted an entire team. He was laughing about it, but it's 14 guys. That's a big draft. But I do like the draft. I thought everywhere they picked and the people they picked fit your need or where there's a, I guess I wouldn't say holes on the roster, but where there needs to be spice in that room. Like you added a running back, a guy that's used to being the guy. And in my opinion, that job could be a little bit open. So that's going to be fun. Watching to see how you you put Avila into the lineup, in the offensive line, that configuration, all that stuff's going to be fun. So I thought they hit on a lot of key areas in the draft. So I do love this draft.
I thought it was the right mix of bold belief, like conviction in their process, and that's evidenced by, say, maybe the willingness to hunt for an opportunity to trade into a first round, but also like a disciplined humility to know when to say when and that the moment wasn't right and that there wasn't going to be a complete solution in just one draft class. That this was an important step, maybe the biggest step towards getting back to where they want to go, but they couldn't do it all on one weekend. But I want to circle back to something you just said there, the smile on your face about all the college free agents, because this is something that maybe we don't ask you about enough, but was it 94?
94, yeah.
All right, so put yourself in the shoes of this giant group of incoming undrafted free agents who see as much opportunity on a Rams roster as maybe we've ever encountered.
That's a lot of smoking mad people coming into a locker room. The first thing we said when you had that many undrafted rookie free agents coming in, it's going to be a hot training camp.
Yeah.
It's going to be competitive. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be fun. And that's what you need to have, especially coming off a 5-1 season. You're going to need some of that competition. So a lot of those guys aren't going to make it here, but they're going to leave their mark here trying to make it here. And that's going to make the guys that do stay here a lot better for it. So yeah, when you have that many undrafted guys coming to camp, it's going to be competitive.
May not make the initial 53, but I think the population that will kind of grow here in the next couple of months will stick around. I think the foundations of a practice squad are there too.
No doubt. The undrafted guys, there's 25 demented runts coming in to take a spot, at least in their mind. You know what I'm saying? So that's going to be fun to watch.
Well, you guys talked about some spicy competition coming into training camp. And I think one of the areas that that could come in terms of a massive impact is actually the quarterback, only because I think having the addition of Stetson Bennett now, what is he going to be able to provide in terms of somebody going up against Matthew Stafford? Not necessarily to take the job by any means, but more so in terms of building an offense to go against a number one defense for this Los Angeles Rams roster.
Well, you guys know what the draft is, right? It's measurables and how they stack you and rate you and then how they want to pick you off the board. It doesn't mean you can't play ball. But when you've watched him play college ball, tell me you haven't been like thrilled to watch him or just excited. Have a lot of fun. The guy's got shake and bake, he's got a cannon, he can get it down the field, and he's competitive, and he's used to that environment. So put him in that room with a legend, wow, what a great place to be with Sean McVay coaching you. So, yeah, I like the pick from the start. I don't know where all the hubbub was about.
Did you get blown up with what a reach, or what are they doing, or why so soon, or this guy might go undrafted?
Okay, the one that got me was he's not very tall. And I'm like, were you watching the draft? Did you see the guy that went number one?
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's so
I
fair.
Mean, yeah. Like, wow. But I mean, did you turn on the film? The guy can obviously play. That's a pretty good pick.
I would make the case there's no such thing as a day three reach at quarterback, right? Fair. It's the most important position in sports. And so if the reporting is accurate, and I believe it to be, that Les Snead and his staff thought that they needed to address that position on day three, not sooner because of their other needs, but on day three, and that Stetson Bennett was their preferred QB2 to come in here and learn, then I don't think you can go too high to get that individual, especially when we see now in retrospect the run on quarterbacks on day three of the draft. So I like that move, and I like the fact that they created a pick to take Stetson Bennett there. Like, that was a pick they didn't even have going into the weekend. In fact, that was probably my favorite moment or best move of the draft for the Rams was day two. After getting Avila, they upgrade a 6-round pick by almost a full round to a 5th, and they added that 4th, which became Stetson Bennett, while addressing a priority with an edge along the way. So I thought that was the moment of the draft for me. And there were some near misses, right? I think the story of any draft is the prospects you would have loved to have had, but someone jumped up and grabbed them in front of you or didn't quite fall to you. And that's what I kind of mean about the disciplined humility to like a prospect, but not to kind of blow up your weekend chasing that individual, knowing that there's comparable players or players with equivalent chances of success in those same groupings.
Now, the woes of 2022 in terms of the offensive line were addressed very early, that number 36 with Steve Avila, and not to mention Warren McClendon. I know we caught up with Sean McVay. He was thrilled to think about those two guys on the offensive line. What could that look like in terms of an offense for 2023?
Possible starter and definite depth. I mean, immediately. I think McClendon, right?
Yeah.
Played right tackle. So, I mean, that's great. There's some rotation there. The Avila thing is going to be fun to watch because he has played center. So is he guard center or center guard? I think he starts his career as a guard slash center and then maybe flops to that spot for the long haul. But either way, that is an upgrade. And I can remember we were sitting in New Orleans, JB and Cam. We weren't sure if Matthew Stafford was going to play. Remember when he came trotting out and he was all psyched up and ready to go? Yay, this is great. And then on a 3rd and 8, got knocked in and put in the tent and out for the year. So at times, the offensive line needed to be great, and it wasn't. So you knew change was coming, and you already had to change in your coaching staff. So I was not shocked when they went here with their first pick in the draft. Now, where do you put him? What is your offensive line configuration? How do you put in Joseph Noteboom and Alaric Jackson? Where do they fit into this with him? But I'm expecting this guy to compete early for a job. Hopefully that's the way it works out.
I'm surprised you remember anything about New Orleans. The only thing I remember is that gumbo place MJD took us to and the bread pudding that bogged us down. Oh. And Tutu Atwell's touchdown, which Tutu almost made a cameo right before we started this podcast. He knocked on the door.
He wants to be a star. I love it.
To say hello. I think you're saying this, and maybe I didn't catch it, or maybe you meant it, but it was on my mind too. I think there are more roster-worthy candidates than 53-man roster spots on the offensive line right now.
That's fair.
100.
Which is a great place to be after the devastation we saw at that position group last year. One other thing, the last two picks that the Rams have made atop their drafts, thinking back, both hulking guards. That tells me something.
Nice.
Doesn't it?
Big time.
That tells me something about the wall they want to build, the pocket they want Matthew Stafford to have. I said it on draft night, too. If you go guard there, that to me is a vote of confidence in Matthew Stafford's longevity as the quarterback of this franchise.
Well, remember Tampa Bay as well, when Vita Vea kind of ate him up, and that kind of shook him up. And then 3 games later, he's done. So, and that all came between the tackle boxes. So you've got to beef up that spot. The one guy we haven't mentioned is the one guy we don't know anything about, Logan Bruss. Where does he fit into all this? So there's competition for jobs between those tackles. We'll see how it shakes out.
Can I go back to the quarterback real quick before we leave Stetson Bennett? I got more to say here, and I'm going to hang myself out to dry. This will be the stupidest thing you hear anyone say about the Rams draft class this entire offseason. I promise you, don't ever make me look back on this clip right here. But I watched a lot of him in college. Sure, like you said, I watched even more this past week. Do you know the name, the comp I can't get out of my head?
Who?
Aaron Rodgers.
Wow.
I'm not
Stetson Bennett?
I'm not saying he's the next Aaron Rodgers. Wow. I'm not saying he's a Hall of Famer. I'm not saying he has Aaron Rodgers' mind or arm. But here, but because
hold on, let me
but because
you're going to have to explain this one.
I will. Because how many years in a row now have we gone to Lambeau Field and watched that dude with his swagger just kind of float around in the pocket, and whether or not he has his feet underneath him? Yes, he makes some big time throws
every year.
He makes some downfield throws, but where he kills you is paper cut after paper cut after paper cut, where you think you've got him, you think you've taken away every option, and then whether he's on balance or his shoulders are square or feet are dug in or not, he just does enough to get it on time, on target to someone for a first down, and you got to play another 3-4 reps. Bennett has his flaws, don't get me wrong.
But
when he's at his best and when he's playing really good teams in really big moments, I saw a lot of NFL-type drive-extending, first-down-getting throws. And I mean this in terms of, I didn't see him hit a lot of checkdowns on the back knee that cost you 3-4 yards in a first down.
Right.
I saw a lot of front shoulder face mask throws into tight windows, maybe when he didn't have that as his initial reader, that wasn't where he wanted to go. That encouraged me that if he gets into an ecosystem where, you know, Sean McVay can build around him, he can learn to play timing, rhythm, offense the way that the Rams have so successfully over the last 7 years, there might be something here. I don't know whether he's the next Kurt Warner or just the next iteration taking the baton from John Wolford. But I'm saying after now watching him for a week, I can see it. I'm not saying he's going to be it. I'm saying I can see it.
I love where you're going. It's just there's no way we're not coming back to this at some point. Yeah.
Like I said,
I'm going to fail.
It will be the dumbest thing that I say or anyone says about this Rams draft class. But I couldn't get that off my mind watching him.
Well, and there's no doubt that he already has encompassed a Hollywood story, worthy at least of a Hollywood story, through his career at Georgia. Now, I'm looking at my notes because there was one question that I really wanted to ask in regards to this offense, because as much as we have to situate the offensive line, we found another tight end or two here in the last little while. Wide receiver health, a question mark as well as the running back room. We've got Bulldogs in one room alone, but how much will this offense potentially vary from last season to this coming season?
Okay, watching Puka Nacua, when you watch his tape and you look at his stats, who does he remind you of?
Robert Woods.
Absolutely, 100%. So I thought that's where he's headed back to. I mean, here's a guy that can take 25 carries, guy that can run routes. He's pretty big. He can play receiver. He can play running back. So all this to help out and feature Cooper Kupp, but at least somebody is there to do the dirty work for the offense and for Matthew Stafford, and to help out Sean McVay call an offense through Matthew Stafford.
That's where I was going with Logan Bruss and Steve Avila, too, in terms of what did the picks tell you. I think it tells you that, and not just last season, but maybe the last five games of last season, and in hiring LaFleur, et cetera, et cetera, that we might be returning to the Roger Saffold 2017-18 era upfront construction, run game design, run past marriage, those types of things. I think at least in Sean's eye, he could see that's where this thing's going.
Well, you bring up LaFleur, and that reminds me, because just on Behind the Grind, he was talking about Van Jefferson and his ability to play and also to be a threat at every single level. How might he be utilized moving forward, and could he be utilized that much more?
Behind the Grind was awesome, by the way.
It was amazing. If you haven't seen it.
Terrific first episode. Kudos to everyone involved.
Wow. Yeah.
It's beautiful.
The question was Van Jefferson, right?
Yeah. Yes.
He seemed very high on him in that.
And Nacua, too, is interesting to me, too, because I've had days, like even since this past weekend, where I've thought, man, I'm really intrigued to see this skill group. And I think a healthy receiving core here could really do some damage. And I've had other days where I've wondered, do the Rams have enough weapons outside to contend against, you know, the Seattle Seahawks and what they've done at corner and some other things which we can talk about. I'm not sure where I land on that, but I think that's probably one of my main questions this summer is whether, with Cooper Kupp leading the way, with Tutu Atwell hopefully taking the next step, with some rookies in the mix, some up-and-coming challengers, Van Jefferson, this is his year, whether that's going to be enough.
Van is definitely my two guard in the offense. Like, you got a specific role. I'm going to use you for vertical. I'm going to stretch the defense with you, that big, long body, long strider type. Yes. Cooper Kupp does what Cooper Kupp does, what you needed and what you didn't have. I think you tried it with Tutu Atwell. It works to some degree, but he's not very big. So I think if you with him, theoretically, you added some toughness to that receiver room in the running game. That will help out. So how do you use a Van Jefferson? Straight to his strengths. and let him do what Van Jefferson does and not ask him to do what he doesn't need to be doing. Does that make sense? Now everybody plays their role.
It does. It also depends how much 11 you play, because the other direction you could go is now that you have some newfound fresh tight end depth and that Tyler Higbee is a tight end, not the tight end.
Right.
That's a big distinction in my mind. Yeah. There might be some more optionality there, which reminds me of something else too, which is there was reporting out there that the Rams were chasing a high-end tight end, right? Early in the draft, and this was a historically good tight end class. But what I like is that when they didn't hit on that opportunity, they didn't then just take the next one on their list. And I have to be honest, I forgot about Hunter Long in this whole mix too.
Yeah. Mm.
If you had a third round grade or projection on Hunter Long, then okay, you got that back from Miami in the Jalen Ramsey trade. You got to let that play out. Like, if that's your belief, then maybe you don't have to reach for that mid-round tight end. You can supplement with some depth and see whether Long is that guy you thought he was a couple drafts ago.
I called Higbee Rambo, and they thought I was dissing him. No, I meant the 80s version of Rambo. He's tough. That guy, yeah.
I think we all want to see Tyler Higbee where he's playing 60 to 70% of snaps instead of 80 to 95.
Yes.
I mean, in terms of production, I think it was his second best career season with the Los Angeles Rams this last year. I mean, just lights out. But let's move to the defense. We've only got a few more minutes to go.
What? So
I know, it's crazy. We got stuck on offense. But JB, you've continued.
So did the Rams. No.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Okay.
Never mind. Okay, but go ahead.
JB, you've continued to talk about how the draft can be a good indicator in terms of the direction the Los Angeles Rams want to go. But mm-hmm. I think where some of the biggest questions lie is on the defensive side of the ball. So what did this draft tell you? And I'll start with you, DeMarco, actually. Mm. What did this draft tell you about the direction on defense the Rams are looking to go?
It tells us our eyes work because they went heavy on edge.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they needed it. They needed to revamp that room. And this is funny. I got a little gripe. So there's a lot of people out there, and this is why I don't engage on certain social media things, but they'll give Michael Hoyt a lot of credit for coming out of nowhere, right? But they won't give Raheem Morris credit for finding that guy, for finding ways to make something happen when you don't have anything. So, and I loved Leonard Floyd, but he was about as streaky as they came. You know what I mean? So here, the Aaron Donald effect. You're going to feel Aaron Donald's effect on every play, every series, every quarter, every game, right? There'd be quarters, games, or weeks that went by when you didn't really feel Leonard Floyd's presence. But then you did, and he came out in gangbusters. But that's not good enough versus the guys that we were talking about, like Mahomes or Aaron Rodgers, the guys that if you let get in a rhythm, it's over. So you needed to revamp that room. So it tells us that we were right in how we thought they were thinking, and they did. They went heavy there. There's going to be competition there. It's going to be my second best camp battle outside of running backs. This is going to be fun.
On the edge?
On the edge. And the little guy, Tomlinson.
Corner.
So let's just pretend we're playing Seattle this week last year. DK Metcalf wasn't an issue because of Jalen Ramsey, but who was? Lockett. Now this reverses it. So hey, let's see if you can shake this little dude. But now you got to figure out how to cover up a DK Metcalf.
Yeah. I mean, we could do a whole nother podcast and more on this. I think the Rams are throwing like more darts than Ted Lasso at the defensive side of the football. You
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't know who's going to be a bullseye and who's going to miss the target and who's going to be on the practice squad. But I like what they did, especially with hyper-athleticism on the edge. And I think this was kind of true across the board on the Rams weekend. But it feels like their prospects fall into three categories, like either championship caliber and award-winning but missing like one key attribute that would have prevented them from going higher, or humble beginnings with nice upside. Mm. And there's some really nice stories there. And I think that that narrative is compelling, but ultimately they pick these individuals because of what they did on the grass, not because of their stories, and then athletic freaks. And I think you're counting on one or more of those per position, hopefully panning out. But I will be curious to see to what extent, if any, they supplement with veteran free agents. Like now that we're through that window where it impacts your comp formula, are there gaps in this defense that they can layer in with, I'm not saying like bring Leonard Floyd back necessarily, but you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, is there a Troy Hill role to be played, et cetera, from internally or externally, now that you know what you have? Or do you just leave that open canvas for this group to grow into and wait until later in training camp or even roster cutdowns to solve for that?
Safety comes to mind for some reason.
John Johnson III out there.
I'm just saying, maybe. Yeah. Safety comes to mind. Corner, I think you might be good with the young talent. Outside, I think you might have enough to find a three. Safety, maybe.
You're going to have to play corner different this year then.
True. Very true.
I mean, you don't have that Jenga piece anymore.
No. You're going to have to scheme it. Yeah, yeah. You don't have that guy anymore. Right. 100.
Unless Robert Rochelle is that guy. He was the comp all along. This is... he to me is kind of like that Van Jefferson of the defense. Like, he can take you from good to great really
quick. Step into your ability, son. He's got everything. Yeah. He's got all the tools. Yep.
Now, we have talked multiple times about training camp because you're not going to want to miss it. Just look at the numbers. I mean, 44 players were under contract before the draft. 14 players drafted, 26 undrafted rookies. Currently, six open roster positions to find that 90-point total. You're going to want to see all of them come to life at training camp. JB, DeMarco, thanks so much for joining us. And, of course, to all of you here on Between the Horns, presented by your Southern California Toyota dealers.